Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Thursday, October 22nd. We're back with you. We have a fun guest waiting in the wings here. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Sam.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. How was your show yesterday?
It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I actually listened to it, or most of it, and it was pretty fun. Now, you know, I try to get that Periscope, but I never know how to find you. How do people find you on Periscope?
You look for our handle.
Okay, and which is, it's complicated?
No. All of our handles for our show, It's Complicated, is Complicated Show.
Okay.
But we were using our Two Drunk Girls account because we have followers there.
Okay,
so we used that to promote the show and the handle for Complicated Show.
Okay.
So it was on Two Drunk
Girls.
So
you just got to search for it. Do you have to follow? You don't have to follow anybody,
no.
Right? Okay. It's interesting. I've never used it. I download the app, and I don't know. Well, actually, I haven't even logged into it.
That's probably why you don't know how to find it then.
No, I think I did once log into it. I saw something with the hearts and stuff, but that was somebody else, whatever was on at the time. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. So what did you guys talk about?
So we talked about the rules, or screwing the rules of dating and relationships.
Okay, so the rules are what, based on the on that book, the rule, or
no, general rules that people
general
know.
Rules, okay,
yeah, or think apply.
Okay, so you talked to Laurel House, who wrote a book called Screw the Rules, right?
Screwing the rules. Yeah.
So what does she say? I mean, what are some of the rules we want to screw?
Well, if your instincts are to text somebody, you should text them. You shouldn't, you know, abide by the rule of waiting 3 days, because somebody once said you should wait 3 days to play hard to get. Because also, right. I mean, especially in this day and age, people have such ADD and are very, like, in the moment. So I think if you don't write somebody, you're forgotten.
Yeah, that's true. That's very
true. Out of sight, out of mind. There's plenty of other people around, especially with dating apps and things that, you know, people will just keep swiping until they find the next person that talks to them.
Right. But, you know, I would also imagine, you know, when you meet the person that's right for you, you guys would probably not have to play those games, you know?
Right.
There's probably going to be a connection there, and you'll just write them and call whenever you
want.
Well,
not if one person wants to play games.
Yeah, well, exactly. But then you don't want to, I don't know, I wouldn't want to be with someone who plays games. In other words, if I met a woman that I like, and we hit it off, we had a good conversation and everything, and I text her the next day, and she feels that it's not the right thing to do, or she gets offended or something or whatever, I don't want to be with her,
right.
You know? I mean, and so like you're saying, you know, if you feel that that's what the appropriate thing is to do, or that's what you feel like doing, contacting them and letting them know you care for them or you like them or whatever.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, did you ever play games with texts like this before, or
I've waited
the 3 days?
No, I haven't, like, played games in that sense. I've been more cautious in responding, though. It's not really a game, but it's more like I don't want to seem overeager because
right.
I don't want to scare anybody away.
Right.
My general personality would be like, say whatever you feel like saying. So it's more me just being cautious. But, like, if somebody writes me, I don't wait an hour to respond.
Right.
I'll respond.
Yeah.
You know, it's just I wouldn't necessarily write them first.
Right.
But
never?
No, and it's not really to play a game, but like
you want to be pursued, you want to be courted, right?
Right. And also, like, I mean, if it were up to me, I'd like, I mean, I'm just like somebody that's very present in there and like, "Hi, I'm in your face."
Yeah.
So, I don't want to overwhelm anyone. So, it's more just a matter of being patient, I think, for me.
Right. And at least, I mean, if you like the person, at least let them know somehow that you like them, that
right.
you would invite texts from them.
Right. Well, usually when people write to me, I respond, like, positively.
Right away,
so
right. Yeah.
They can tell by my response, but I'm not necessarily the person to initiate.
Right. Okay, well, you know, that works well. I mean, does that Bumble app work for you at all?
Yes.
It does.
That's my favorite app.
Really? So you actually get to choose the guys and you make the move.
There's, well, you don't choose the guys. You just make the move.
You make the move, right. But I was actually reading about this. They had an article on it. And they said that they found out that the men are more respectful of women when the women make the first move, mm-hmm. which is very interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so it should work for women very well, that app. So, yeah. So how many apps are you using? Like 10 or something? Or?
No. I mean, on my phone, just for pure research, there are 6.
Right. You know, but I have to wonder, though. I mean, you go through, obviously, so many. You meet a lot of people and stuff. And what, eventually you reject all of them? Or do you give some people a chance? I mean,
I give people a chance, Sam. That's you the know. Point of dating.
Okay, I know. But, you know, I mean, I haven't seen anything serious. And, you know, so I'm just wondering.
Maybe I'm not telling you.
Okay, that's true. Maybe you're not telling me. Well.
Do you want me to bring the person into the radio station?
No, you can. Well, yeah, that would be nice, but you don't have to. I mean, I wouldn't put you on the spot or anything.
I mean, you are now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, you don't have to bring him into the station. Okay, we'll change the topic. We had a photographer here yesterday who was very cool. So you got the books. Did you get a chance to look at them?
Yeah.
Yeah, photography book, A Rock Music Photographer, Neil Preston, and he brought a couple books that he did, and what a great job, you know, to be close to all these rock acts and stuff, you know.
If that's, you know, something that you're into, that's like, he's got the coolest job you could possibly have to be like exactly. near bands like that and have seen performances firsthand, been on stage, captured those moments. I mean, they're iconic photos.
Right, exactly.
To have met the person behind those photos is pretty awesome. I really enjoyed that yesterday.
Yeah, very cool.
And I'm very happy to have the books as take-homes.
Yeah. I know. I forgot to bring you the book on 100 Lethal Skills, but I'll bring that to you, too. I was checking it out yesterday, and it's pretty cool, actually. You know, I mean, I don't know that we'll ever be in situations where we need it. Let's hope not.
But you may need one out of the 100 skills, and then that'll come in handy.
Right. And we learned some good tips about these things and stuff. So,
well, if you want to read it first, you can, and then give it to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I will do that. So are you still reading Modern Romance? Have you discovered some new things from it?
I am reading it.
Yeah.
Still. I mean, it's I'm fun, only halfway right? through.
It's a fun book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's enlightening.
I just like that there are statistics that that accompany what I already feel or had assumed.
Right. Yeah. I actually posted something I saw in the magazine. I took a picture of it. I don't know if you saw it, but they found out, I guess they did a survey on Match.com, and they found out that most people will look at your hygiene first, although I don't know how they can figure it out from your profile. But they're saying hygiene is the most important concern, and the second one that turns people off is poor grammar. Very interesting, right? I mean,
well, I think both,
we're grammar police here.
Right, but I think both show like how you either care for yourself or like if you're lazy.
Right, exactly.
Like an untucked shirt in a photo, I'm sure like with a shirt that probably should be tucked in might signify that that person's lazy.
And then you think it's laziness to tuck in the shirt in?
If it's a shirt that should be tucked in, yes. Like laziness and like a slob. I don't know. Like, I don't want that person.
I just think they're maybe not aware. I mean, they're not even aware.
How are they not aware?
Because some people are not into clothes. You know, they just, I mean, you can see a lot of guys, they just throw on something.
Well, you bought it from somewhere terrible. That probably had a photo of a tucked in shirt.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
And then
know.
It's probably wrinkled and, like, I mean, no.
Yeah, very wrinkled. And I look at people, I go, how are you dressing like this? You know, I mean, don't you have a little respect for yourself?
Exactly. Either? See, if you're somebody that thinks that way, then maybe that's affected your choices.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I just don't know that it has to do with laziness. But I think grammar, that's not necessarily laziness. But I do. I mean, I get offended by poor grammar. I'll tell you why. I try to read those posts on Facebook. And I find I have to read it 5 times to understand what the guy is saying because there's no punctuation. So I feel he's disrespecting me if he wants me to read this. Don't make it so difficult for me. You know.
Okay.
So,
you take it personally.
I take it personally.
Okay. Well, when I see poor grammar, I just think, you either have no regard for spell check, which shows up most of the time automatically.
Right.
And those squiggly lines under the word is not for decoration. It's to tell you that you did something wrong.
Right.
And if you can't change it because you're just, I don't know, if you don't have time or if you're lazy again, or if you don't even know that the squiggly line means that you wrote something incorrectly, I'm probably not going to want to date you.
Right. But you know what? That's on Facebook, and the squiggly lines is only for misspellings. I mean, if you write, if you confuse
the spelling,
the your and your or there and there, I don't think the spell checker is going
to
do it for you.
Fine, but you can still decipher what they were trying to say. But either way, if somebody doesn't proofread their work and puts it out into the world, it angers me.
Right. Exactly. You know, and
but it, not because it affects my reading ability, but because they don't care.
Right.
So it shows that they don't care.
Right.
Or that they don't know. And if you're not educated by this point, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I understand we can't all have the same education, and some people are, you know, less fortunate in the sense of they didn't get to go to,
yeah,
I don't know, some school that taught grammar. But
yeah.
But also, you could educate yourself. If you have Facebook, you have the internet.
That's true. And you
look it up.
And if you pick up a book or two or a magazine or something, every once in a while, you'll be familiar with the way people write. And, you know, but to have a one run on sentence that's two paragraph long, it's, you know, it just, I give up on it after a while. I mean, you can tell maybe there's something to say a point that they have to say, but I never get to it, you know, because I don't know what they're saying.
Well, people like my mom like to say that she has like poetic license or whatever creativity that she wants to label this as when she writes certain ways, right, with like five dots and not three for an ellipsis, or like 17 exclamation points, or an abbreviation.
But those are acceptable in social networks.
I don't know.
No?
Or an abbreviation that is U apostrophe R.
Right.
I mean, that's like a shortened version of your. I don't know why you don't just write your. Here's the thing. Unless you're a poet, an actual poet, and you make an income that way, maybe, or you're striving to be a poet and like rewrite the English language, like E.E. Cummings, lowercase letters, fine. But unless you're that, write properly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not poems that they're writing on Facebook.
Exactly. So then write properly. My point exactly.
And but that's even so, like I said, it's even more so on dating sites. So if you're at least aware your grammar is not perfect, try to do something about it, because it could affect your dating prospects.
Right. Make the effort in everything. Tuck in your shirt, spell correctly, check your grammar.
Exactly. Exactly. So yesterday was, we're going to bring in our guest in just a second. I just wanted to bring up yesterday, October 21st, 2015, the Back to the Future Day. There was almost like a mania. Back to the Future mania of all the stuff that has happened. And It's cool, you know. I mean, I really like the movies, and did you hear that Nike is making self lacing shoes they just shipped a pair to Michael J. Fox, like, because in the movie they had those, you know. It's like he was wearing sneakers and the laces just tied themselves.
I don't remember that detail, but yeah, that's awesome that they're doing that for him.
I know, and it's so I guess they had an appearance on TV, he and the professor. What's Christopher Lloyd, right?
Yeah.
I forget what his name was in the movie. Do you remember?
Doc,
that's right. Okay. And then it was Marty McFly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a lot going on, but we're going to get to our guest right now, who's sitting patiently here. And we have Carmela Tunzi in the studio. Welcome to the show, Carmela.
Hello.
And so you're a hypnotherapist.
I'm a hypnotist. Correct?
A hypnotist, okay.
Yes.
So do you do therapy with it too? Or, I mean, because some people call it hypnotherapist and some people do therapy for fun, right?
Correct.
For show and entertainment and
correct
stuff. So what do you do?
I specifically help people with weight management, stress release, and sometimes quit smoking.
Oh, okay, cool. So that's what I need. I need to quit smoking.
Sam, you have to want to quit smoking.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know that Rocky is still after me almost every day?
Good.
The gentleman that was here, we have a gentleman, he said no hypnosis, no nothing. You just talk to him or whatever in his program for 3 days, guaranteed to quit. And he's been doing it for many years, so I don't know. But I know that hypnosis does work, right?
Absolutely.
So but you have to want to do it.
Absolutely. And follow direction.
Right. So now, so you do this with eating as well?
I do it with everything, just about.
Yeah. So people have bad habits, right?
Correct.
How do we pick those up?
Usually we model things that we've seen. Mm-hmm. So in the past, if you've seen a behavior, let's say from 0 to 5 years old, chances are that you'll be repeating that pattern as you grow up.
Wow, really?
Absolutely.
Wow. So we really get affected during those years between 1 and 5.
Very, very formative years, correct.
Yeah, that's when we absorb a lot.
Yes.
Wow. And obviously at that age, you don't have a lot of defense mechanisms. So you pretty much just subscribe to whatever the adults are doing.
Correct.
Wow. Yeah.
Pretty deep.
Yeah, it is pretty deep. So people develop, so you tell me that if a five-year-old sees an adult smoke, then they're going to model this later?
Well, I was a smoker and my father smoked my whole life.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sam, did your parents smoke?
My parents did not smoke when I was growing up. Well, my dad sometimes had a pack of cigarettes, but he never smoked. I mean, he had one in the car. That's why I was stealing them from, until he probably realized the pack is empty. But but no, my parents would not smoke. At the time, I was about 13 or so, I think, or 14 when I started, and all my friends did. And you have to understand that that culture, until recently, I came from Israel, so that culture until recently, they, you know, only in the past couple decades, maybe they've become aware of cigarette smoking like we have here.
Absolutely.
So it was sort of like acceptable, you know, and especially when I was there, of course, it wasn't that great for kids, but we picked it up because that's what people did. And so I can totally understand what you're saying, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, and at the time they had chewing gum cigarettes. Have you ever heard of those?
No.
It's like candy cigarettes. They would be from chewing gum. They would be shaped like cigarettes.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah. And in a like cigarette-like pack, and you wonder, I mean, what were people thinking? You know, I mean, why would you give kids things like that? It doesn't matter what culture, what time, what period it is, you know. But I guess people just were not aware that cigarettes are bad, or they wouldn't admit it.
Right.
Right. So how long have you been doing this now?
Hypnosis? Approximately 3 years.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, so you're pretty new to
it. I'm a newbie.
Oh, okay.
I love it.
Yeah?
Yep.
What did you do before that?
I'm a hairdresser, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes. Kind of do a little bit of one-on-ones with clients, as Jen knows.
And how? So how do you go from a hairdresser to a hypnotist? What prompted you?
I actually, quite frankly, it was an accident. I started learning a lot about the mind and the body and how we're connected and how our thoughts actually can make changes in our physiology. It was very important for me to start observing that. And so I call myself kind of like a certification junkie. I started looking at these courses and classes and started learning different things about the body. And my first training actually was the one that blew my mind in hypnosis. I saw my trainer actually take a phobia away from a potential student, and that's when I decided this was the work that I wanted to do.
Wow. So it really impressed you.
Absolutely.
Mm. What was the phobia?
I don't remember what theirs was, but I didn't drive freeways for 16 years.
Wow.
And applied this to myself.
Yeah, so that was working? I mean, did you hypnotize yourself?
No, I found a teacher. I found a trainer, actually. And in 2 hours, after 16 years, I'm free.
Very cool. Did you ever drive the freeways?
Oh, yeah.
And it happened? What happened?
I grew up in L.A. I think I had some sort of a panic attack or something. While driving.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. And so no matter how much I tried to get back on the freeway, my subconscious mind just wouldn't let me. And I didn't have an understanding of this at the time. I just kept trying to force myself. And when I saw this happen in the training, I was like, there's my ticket.
Oh, okay. So this is like fears, right?
I mean, deep fears, correct.
Deep fears.
Yes, and that's what we help with.
So you can actually help with that.
Absolutely.
So it's not just like eating, smoking, things like
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yes.
Wow, very cool. So where did you study? Online, or did you have like somebody you learned from, or do you have to go to school?
Yes,
for it?
Absolutely. My first trainer was based out of Hawaii. Now I'm blessed to be working under the mentorship of Scott McFall and Heather McFall. They're actually international trainers.
Really?
Yes.
So that's what you call yourself, a trainer, right?
I am not a trainer.
Oh, you're not a trainer.
No,
but
I'm
there
not
are
a trainer.
People that are trainers.
Yes, the trainers train the hypnotists, basically.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. So you did hair for many years?
Yes, I mean, just right out of high school.
Do you still do it?
I still do it. It's a gift. I'm not going to let that go.
Yeah, exactly. Now, did you ever feel like from cutting hair for many years that your hands are like, you're having problems with your hands, like pain or anything?
No pain. No. I know how to manage my pain.
Wow. That's interesting because I've had a couple of hairdressers. One just had to have surgeries all the time.
Send them to
hand.
Me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I don't go to her anymore. She stopped working because of it.
Meaning I can manage pain with hypnosis.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, maybe I'll bring my mom to you.
Absolutely.
Any pain? Even chronic pain?
We'd have to do, when I meet someone, the first time we do a screening in the office, and we see if they're suggestible. And normally the screenings, they're free, take about 30 minutes, and we find out the details of what's happening and if they can follow direction. So it's a lot like going to the movies. We give them an image, and they actually see, feel, and hear what it would be like. And so in pain management, for example, they actually get to experience what it's like, again, to be pain-free.
Oh, so then it gives them an incentive to actually try real hard.
And not only that, but they physiologically feel different. Like if you're going to a movie and you just had something sad happen in your life, you're not feeling sad while you're watching the movie. Mm. You experience happiness again.
Right.
It changes your state.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I know.
And I read somewhere that you do Reiki as well.
Ah, you've been doing your research.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I'm a practitioner in Reiki and also Jinshin Jitsu, which is a form of acupressure. And it's a very powerful technique. That's kind of like my back burner right now. It's sort of a hobby for fun. But when doing hypnosis, energy is important. So that helps me be a little bit intuitive also.
Yeah. So tell us what Reiki is about. I mean, I've heard of it. I'm not really sure. It has to do with pressure points?
No. Jinshin Jitsu is more pressure points.
Oh, but, okay.
Reiki is actually taking energy and balancing the chakras, the energy centers that we all have in our body.
Right.
And by doing this, actually, we allow the energy that travels through our body. A lot of it has been studied under the more Eastern philosophies like Japan and et cetera. They figured out that we have certain energy pathways and things running through our bodies that when they're aligned, we become whole and well.
Right. So you need to become a little spiritual with these things as well, right?
Well, in the clinic, we become very clinical. So it really is a matter of A plus B equals C. Mm. This other type of work is a little bit more esoteric.
Mm. Okay. So, but do you do that kind of work as well?
I'm sensitive to energy, but when I'm with clients with hypnosis, I'm working clinically.
More clinical.
Yeah.
I see.
How does hypnosis actually work?
So our mind is about, obviously it's 100%. So if you were to take off the first top of it, the 12% is our logical thinking, right? And you're familiar with meditation, correct?
Yes.
So in meditation, we quiet the mind. And that's the first top part of our mind, let's say, if you were to see it as a visual. The unconscious mind is about 88%, which is huge. So what we do is quiet the mind, for example, with progressive relaxation, countdowns, things like that, visualizations. We get ourselves out of ourselves, basically. We're the ones that get in our way. Once we're out of our logical thinking, like, oh, is this working? Or what's she going to do? This is weird. Or I'm scared. Or, once we get them out of that and just simply allow them to experience their breathing, notice their breathing, notice what it feels like to step down, you're getting more relaxed, things like that. Then at that point, we're able to give suggestions. We're being hypnotized all day long by the media. I'm sure you guys know
really?
That.
Really?
Oh, yeah. when you say Nike, what's the slogan?
The swoosh, right?
Or just
oh,
do
the,
it.
Yeah, just do it.
Okay, the swoosh
I thought
is,
you meant the brand.
Well, the swoosh is the brand in that
right,
sort
the
of.
The logo, right.
Yeah, so, or I don't know if you remember the old commercial, plop, plop.
Fizz, fizz, yeah. Oh, what a relief it is.
There you go.
Yeah,
how do you know that?
Because it's been drilled into my head
right.
so many times.
And so that's what we do. We give the suggestions, And through repetition, it's like going to work every day. How do you get there?
Right. And they say that learning is about repetition, too.
Absolutely.
So they drill it into your mind.
But you don't have to think about it anymore. Right. Therefore, you are hypnotized.
Wow. It's unconscious.
Exactly.
Wow. So do you help people also getting commercials out of their heads, too?
I just did my own, so thank you.
We're talking to Carmela Tunzi. Her website is mindflowhypnosis.com, right?
Correct.
And you can find out all her programs. And I see you dealing with weight loss and smoking cessation, confidence, stress release, anger management, pain management, motivation. Wow, that's a lot of things. Public speaking in all spheres.
Correct.
So that's a tall order, and you can help people with all these things.
Absolutely, yeah.
How many sessions does a person need, let's say, to do each of those things?
We don't specifically tell the person before they come in because I really need to do the screening first and see what their problem is, what area they need. Typically, you know, we sign them up for a program that might accommodate their specific needs.
Mm. So it's what not something just like one this cost? Session.
That, again, we can't quote because, again, it really depends on what they need specifically. Like I have a client that will come in and she says, you know, I need to lose 5 pounds. And I just started laughing. I said, you know what? I think there's more going on here than just you losing 5 pounds. You don't need 5 pounds to lose. I ended up signing her for a stress release program. So really? It's difficult to tell what's going to happen before I meet the client. So that's why the screening is important. And that's why it's free because
right.
We don't even know if I'm going to accept the client. If they're seriously have a disorder of some sort, then they need to be referred out to a licensed therapist or something like that.
I see. So you have to be trained recognizing
yes.
all these things.
Yes.
And but I mean, Jen's question made sense. So I mean, but so it obviously involves multiple sessions. It's not like someone can come to you once or twice and it's done.
Correct.
Right?
I mean, like I said with the commercial, how did you know it? Because you heard it repetitively. So there's different things, and it's kind of like peeling an onion. You take off the soft surface, and you don't know what's going to come out. After that, I had a client yesterday tell me, "Oh, I'm anxious and depressed," and this was like literally her. Seventh or eighth session in the program with me, she never mentioned it. And she's got about 90 pounds that she's working on losing. But it's like peeling an onion. Until I got there, she never mentioned it to me before. And so now I'm going to start addressing her stress release in the program.
Oh, okay. So now, so is there different kinds of hypnosis for the different things that you do, for the different things that you're targeting, or is it pretty much the same process? For
well,
you?
What I do in the office, it has to do with so much more than hypnosis. We are also helping people with their targeted goals. For example, if you had an athlete, you know how they say they're in the zone. Correct?
Right.
Well, using a form of NLP, neuro-linguistics, we can get them to actually feel what it feels like to shoot the basket.
Really?
It's the analogy. So if you don't know what it feels like to do something, a goal, how do you know how to do it? Or if you don't know what it looks like to be in a healthy relationship, how do you know how to do it? So we actually give models and they actually try it on through pictures. We actually have them step into the picture of what it feels like to be in a healthy relationship or to shoot that basket.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. And so now, obviously, a person has to want to be hypnotized.
Absolutely.
Is that enough, or do you need something else? Because you said to see if they're suggestible
Correct.
Or agreeable.
Correct.
Or,
so they need to know how to follow direction. If you know, if they don't want to, if I get a referral from a loved one, from someone that wants to quit smoking, I normally turn them away unless the person calls me himself or herself. That's the first step. They have to really want to.
And to do it for themselves.
To do it for themselves,
else.
Absolutely. If they come in, they say, my wife wants me to quit. I say, well, when you're ready to quit, then I'll see you.
Right.
And then if they're suggestible, yes, I do a couple of tests in the screenings. And I see how they respond. I can see through what we call sensory acuity if they're actually participating, listening to me, or are they, in some instances, they want to please me so much they're placating. And that's not what I'm looking for either. For them to get true change, they have to really let go, listen to the direction. And once you listen very carefully, I will see the change.
I see. So can everybody be hypnotized, or are there some people? I mean, let's say they want to have it done and everything. Mm-hmm. Is there still sometimes where you won't be able to hypnotize them?
If they don't follow direction, then they simply, they won't. They're too distracted, or if they don't want to, or, you know, again, if there's some sort of mental disorder, then, you know, that would probably be the
not
case.
Much you can do.
It's very rare, though, that people are not suggestible in my observation.
Okay. So most people can be hypnotized.
Yes. And I get a lot of people that tell me, well, it doesn't work for me. And I do actually. I work with support groups, and I'm teaching a little bit at the Glendale Community College also. And in every group, there's always one that says, I can't do this. And I say, okay. And, you know, but just follow what I say and let's see what happens. And usually those are the ones that get, it's fun to watch. They're the ones that, you know, literally are like completely out.
Really?
Yeah.
How long does a session usually last?
Approximately about an hour, between 40 minutes to an hour.
Okay, so you put someone under or mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. And so how does this work? You put them like in a different state of mind?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that?
So when they come in and we talk about what is happening in their life, if they have obstacles in a weight loss program, for example, every time I get sad, I just want to reach for that box of chips or bag of chips or uh-huh. whatever. I might ask them to think of a time when they were upset and they, you know, went for a walk instead, and install that new behavior pattern with them, because sometimes, you know, what happens is that we don't even know what we're doing because it's so unconscious. So we want to get them to a relaxed state. That's the most important thing. It's all about relaxing the state.
Mm.
And then once they're relaxed, then you can give them the suggestions that they need.
Yeah, it's sort of like falling asleep. You have to relax first.
Right.
Now, this is I mean, this is similar to going to sleep, but it's not, right?
Yes.
I mean, you're in a different state.
Yes. Hypnosis is, you know, quite frankly, almost the state right before we fall asleep, where you're there, but you're conscious, but you're at such a relaxed state that, you know, you're in between. It feels very similar, like I said, to going to the movies.
Yeah.
You're fully aware, but you're not there.
Right.
When you're going, when you're at the movies, you're not thinking about, you know, your girlfriend or your kids or whatever. You're completely focused on what you're looking at. And so that's what we're doing with hypnosis.
Yeah. And so you get, so you're at a position, I mean, I was hypnotized once, and I remember it was the most relaxing feeling, you know. And you feel, in the back of your mind, you realize somebody's talking to you, but you don't really know what's going on, you know. It's like, yeah, you're half asleep, you know, and it's very interesting. But I only went once, so nothing really worked, you know. But you got to be committed to it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How regular do people come to you if you're going to do, like, however many sessions?
About once a week.
Mm. Interesting. So, but can people expect rather quick results with, like, quitting smoking and things like that? I mean,
yes.
Because if it's once a week, it could take a while, right?
Well, quit smoking doesn't take that long.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Most of the time, they quit the very first session. Sometimes even with just screening.
Really?
Yeah, it can happen that rapidly.
Wow.
But we guarantee our work. It's service guaranteed. So in other words, if somebody quit smoking and something happened that triggered we didn't catch before, then I will go back in and see what we missed. And even with the most of my clients, many of my clients are stress related. Typically, that program is so efficient that I don't see anyone after that. But in weight loss, they might slip up. And so I would say a month later, let's revisit and see where you're at. And keep them on track, but it's all service guaranteed, complete satisfaction.
Sounds good. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Exactly.
You know, you're not taking any risk.
Right.
We're talking to Carmela Tunzi. Her website is mindflowhypnosis.com. Now, I would imagine that people can, can you hypnotize people from a distance, or do they have to come to you? I know some people do this.
What a great question.
Because some people do it over the internet and phone and things like that.
Actually, I have, I'm very excited to share that I've been working with clients with Skype. And I have my longest distance client that I'm working with now is in Morocco.
Uh-huh.
And that's really fun.
How do they find you?
Facebook. So I, you know, I like to play on Facebook a little bit, and you know, to you know, the testimonials and things like that. Actually, I brought a whole book of testimonials. If you wanted to read a couple out loud, it'd be fun.
Yeah. Okay. But
here,
pull
let
it
me,
out.
Let me reach
find out.
Out.
Okay. So, yeah, so we're talking about hypnosis. It's always been a fascinating thing to me, you know.
Me too.
And now, so when you're entertaining hypnosis, it's not the same thing, right? Or do they use the same process?
I'm not going to comment on the stage part because I haven't been trained yet. So
okay.
Maybe you'll have me back and we'll talk about that.
Okay, so you're going to be trained for that too?
Maybe.
Yeah, why not, you know? So, wow, there are some cool reviews. So people write to you, actually.
Actually, after they complete the programs, most of them are so excited and see so much huge results that they're willing to give me testimonies that I can show incoming clients when they come in the screening that people are getting results with us.
Yeah.
So those are all handwritten, most of them, of real people that have had success with us.
Yeah, I mean, listen to this. Carmela's hypnotherapy changed my life. For 15 years, I've been unable to sleep well at night, let alone fall asleep without smothering myself in a comforter. Wow. So now, for the first time in as long as I can remember, I'm able to fall asleep calmly in any place like a normal person. Wow, Carmela, that's a big deal. That's a big deal, because a lot of people take drugs and things like that to fall asleep.
I had actually a client, and I'm not going to say her name because, you know, she's a reputable actress, but she came to me. She was on Baywatch, none of the big stars. But anyway, she came to me, and she came to me for quit smoking. After she quit smoking, she told me, Carmela, it's really weird. You know, I've been on meds for insomnia for like 15 years, and I'm sleeping.
Really?
So the side effect, the side effect of the audio, we give them take home audio in between sessions. The side effect was her being so calm that she was able to sleep. And that happens a lot. I'm seeing with my clients, like they come in for one part of something or whatever, and then it spills over into other areas of their life.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's interesting because people think that cigarettes calm them, and yet obviously not.
Yeah. Well, there's so much more that is involved with the quit smoking. It's not just the you know, the actual action of it. It's the why they do it that we take care of.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely need to get into that program. Hi, Carmela. I'm doing this on voice text for you because, okay, blah, blah, blah. I'm amazed. So he came to you to quit smoking, and it was, wait a minute. It's kind of hard to read. I don't know.
There goes the grammar police.
Yeah, I know, I know.
I don't correct their grammar when they write.
I know. Okay. Oh, I think, okay, whatever. It looks like a text or something. So my first session, Carmela took me on a journey that was quite unexpected. She took me to places in my mind that I thought I'd forgotten that clearly affect my daily life. I look forward to peeling back the layers and transformation. Wow. So Carmela, I mean, so your stuff works. Your stuff works, obviously, or you wouldn't be in business for 4 years already?
Three
years.
Thank you.
Yeah. So so people can contact you through the website. So you're on social media as well, right?
Yes, I have a page on Facebook, Mindflow Hypnosis.
And Mindflow Hypnosis.
Yes, and my website has my number, my business number.
Right. Okay, sounds cool. Wait a minute. What happened to my mouse here? Okay. So, yeah, you can contact Carmela. There's a phone number here. There's email and everything. And obviously, if you're in the LA area.
Or
on Skype. Yeah.
What I meant is if you're in the LA area, you actually get to meet her in person, you know. But that's interesting you can do that with Skype, huh? Because it's not something where the person has to be there, right? It's
as long as I can see. I do the process just like I would if somebody comes into my office. So we make an appointment for the screening. I, you know, have them fill out forms, send them to me before, find out what their target area is, and then basically see if they're suggestible through the same kind of test that I would if they were in the office. And then from there, we set up the program that they need and move forward.
I see. So you don't have to swing a watch in front of their eyes
to
put them out.
No, I don't swing watches.
Would that even work, or is that just something you see?
No, I think it works.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it gets you to focus on something else, right?
On something else, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long does it take to put someone into that state?
Some people are extremely suggestible. I mean, it's really funny. Sometimes even in the screenings, I feel like, you know, they're so willing and wanting to make the change. It's rapid. It just depends on your technique and, you know, and how much present they are following direction.
Right. Are there people that are afraid of hypnosis?
Yes.
I mean, they are, huh?
I have people sometimes that will approach me. I just signed a woman that I remember in the screening, she was like white as a ghost. She was so scared of what I was going to do. And she knows me, but, you know, they have, you know, a preconceived idea that somebody's going to do something to them.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And it's all self-hypnosis. All hypnosis is self-hypnosis. In other words, the clients are doing it themselves. We're just the tools. We're giving them the tools.
Yeah. Excuse me. You're sort of like the moderator, the trainer,
exactly,
if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they do it themselves. If they don't follow direction or if they're busy thinking about other things, or not willing to listen and just listen to what I say, like close your eyes, then they're not going to be suggestible.
Right.
If somebody's sitting there saying, I can't close my eyes, which I've had that. Like, I just can't do this. And I'm like, okay, then we can't work together.
Right. You can't do it with your eyes open.
You actually can, but, really? You know, that it's the point is that they have to follow direction.
Right,
basically.
Exactly. Yeah, it's because you're the guide, you know. I mean, they can't just go off on their own, you
right.
know. Wow. Very interesting stuff, you know. I mean, I like that. What I want to ask you about... never mind. It's like these things happen to me, you know. The question
it'll come back. Ask your unconscious mind.
Exactly. And no, I learned actually that I read a book on ESP once, and it gave you kind of tricks to do. And like one of them was to fall asleep, and it actually worked for me. If you can't fall asleep, start picturing colors in your mind, and then go from one color to the other. Sometimes by the third color, I'm out. You know, so that's pretty interesting. There was another one where if you can't remember something, they were saying it's like you have a file clerk in your head. So when you ask for something, they go back into your mind and look for it. But if you try to think about it all the time, constantly, they can't go back there because you keep calling them to come to you and to ask them the question. So what you do is you ask three times and then you totally forget about it. And then it comes to you. And you know what? It works. It really works. So the unconscious mind is very powerful.
Absolutely. It's right. also our protector. In a case that's just coming up to me right now, if you have someone that's experienced trauma and they don't remember, that happens on purpose. It's a way to our mind, our body is or God even to protect us from experiencing that over and over again.
Right. Yeah. And you see, it just came to me when I forgot about it. It came back to me.
Good.
I was going to ask you about confidence. So people come to you about confidence to increase their confidence.
Yes.
Now, what are some of the reasons people have low self-esteem or low confidence?
It's how they think about themselves.
Mm. And that comes from early on in their lives too, do you think?
And sometimes experience. If you did something in your life and you failed at it, for example, and didn't look at it as a feedback for what you could improve,
right.
Then you judge yourself. You perceive yourself as a failure. Therefore, your confidence goes out.
Right. So, and then you pigeonhole yourself as a shy person or
right.
an unconfident.
Like I'm an extremely shy person.
Yeah,
I am.
Okay. Well, you don't seem to be like
I
that.
I don't do public speaking, and any more than three people. Uh-huh. This is my mindset. Past mindset,
right.
But I'm saying it presently just to give you an example of how funny that is.
Yeah.
Because I truly did perceive myself that way. And this is a testimony also that this stuff works because there's no way in hell I would have projected this out in my future. Is
really?
Talking on radio.
Wow.
No.
Well, you're doing very well.
Thank you.
Of course, we're talking to Carmela Tunzi, right? And the website is mindflowhypnosis.com. Sounds very convincing to me, you know. So do people ever come to you with help? I mean, obviously confidence and everything, but like to improve their dating and things like that? Because I knew Jen needs to know that.
I was just briefly chatting with Jen yesterday. We, of course, Yes, we get all of that. I recently worked with a gentleman who actually his father was a psychotherapist, and he's tried everything. And this was kind of like under the radar because I don't think he wanted his father to know that he didn't have confidence dating women. And it wasn't so much the dating, it was the approach.
Right.
So I did some fun stuff with him to have him kind of break through that. And it's always rewarding for me to see the change in them. And even yesterday I had a call. It's not so much dating, but all kinds of things. I had a woman say, well, I have an addiction to men. So I haven't met her yet, but that sounds like fun. Another fun topic for me.
Wow. Sorry, something just came up here. Asking me to do something to the computer.
So what would an addiction to men really be? Because it's probably not just that. It's like an addiction to anything. But what is it really that she needs validation or that she's insecure? She needs confidence?
Like, great question. I really won't know until I meet her. But what we like to say is, first of all, to demystify this idea of addiction. There's so many people using that word. It's like a main term, health or... and now my brain just fried. But what is an addiction? If an addiction is if you take something away, then you die, basically. Mm-hmm. So, or, you know, for example, you know, there's some heavy heroin, for example. If they're trying to get off heroin and you take it away, they actually could die because the body's already been conditioned to that. So you have to do something else to take that ease or burden off. Alcohol is the same thing. If somebody's drinking a very long time and, you know, they decide that they're going to stop drinking, you take it away, their liver could fail. So you have to work with doctors in those cases. I don't
right.
do that
they
work.
They detox you and right. things like that, right.
right? I don't do that work. I'm not, you know, those are for licensed professionals and et cetera. So going back to that woman and her addiction. So if you take away, that's kind of comical. That's the first thing that I would tell her. Like, if you take men away, you're going to die. So, you know, kind of like you want to play with them to soften it a little bit. And then I figure out what it is that she's lacking. And I won't know that until I actually meet her because it could be all kinds of things that has conditioned her to having this, you know, limiting belief of whatever that is.
But it's great because you give people hope, you know. I mean, people don't just say, well, I'm stuck with this. I'm stuck with myself for the rest of my life with all these destructive, not helpful beliefs.
Absolutely. And thank you to you guys for helping me give hope to people. You're bringing to mind, I talked to a support group on last Sunday. I was in West Hollywood. And Being Alive was the name of the support group. It's a HIV and AIDS Foundation. And there was a gentleman sitting in the group. And, you know, you would never know this until he opened up. He'd been living in his car for 3 months. And as we started doing some of the change work, it was a very small group, which I was happy because I got to give him a little extra attention. But we started doing some change work where he was going from seeing himself in the picture of the sadness to seeing himself to actually wanting or having what it is that he wanted. And he shifted from sobbing in front of me and he left with hope. So it was a really, really fantastic thing to witness. And yes, you're right. We do give hope to people and actually make lasting changes.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, if you've got a problem, folks, and most of us do, go to Carmela. She's going to fix you. But no, I think it's also important that somebody admits they have a problem.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Seek out the help, because if they don't think they have a problem, then you can't help them.
Yeah. Well, one of the funnest things I learned early on, one of the things that we did when we first started working with people is ask this question over and over again, how is that a problem? Because sometimes the problem really isn't a problem. Mm. And so people might think that they have a problem, but the problem really isn't the problem. It's something so much deeper. So that's a whole other level of
and that's your
of
job work. Is to
that's
discover
my job.
That.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So,
well, Carmela Tunzi, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you again for having me.
Much success to you.
Thank you.
And give us your Facebook page again. What is that?
It's Mind Flow Hypnosis.
Mind Flow Hypnosis. And there's links on our website too. So go to mindflowhypnosis.com and you'll find out all the information. And obviously, even if you're not in LA, you can get fixed. So, Carmela, thanks again. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Come back and...
thank you, both of you.
Yeah, of course. So come back and tell us more.
I'd love to.
We'd love to hear about those success stories.
Cool.
Okay. Well, that's it for today. Jen, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow.
listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.